Well, good morning, beautiful people of God. Yes, our such an awesome church. Powerful, powerful, powerful things are happening. God is so awesome, church. Come on. That's worth of being giving him praise. Amen. We continue, like Melody said, praying for Rick and Susan for safe travels. But, you know, we're excited for the new season that God is bringing into our life. You know, there's been many, many powerful things and testimonies that God is bringing to our life. Amen. That we can actually testify about and you know, people can believe and see the power of the Almighty, of the God that rose, you know, one day, you know, 3 days after being crucified, and he rise up and defeated everything, amen? And that's the Jesus that we go and preach, and that's the Jesus that we go and show and teach about, amen? So people can see that, people can feel the presence of God because of, you know, what we're doing and how we're talking about him, amen? So today I got a preaching for you guys. I got a message. I think it's powerful. I believe it's powerful. God is so good. And the name is Christianity in Crisis. Yes, Christianity in Crisis. Hello. See, one of the things when I asked God for guidance, and I said, Lord, give me something to preach, something that is powerful, something that can touch my life first before I can bring it out, you know, to your people. And God always reveals to me. God always, like, touches my heart and starts bringing, like, powerful things into my life. And I say, oh, Lord, that's harsh. Should I write it? Should I preach it? But you know what? I think God is good because, you know, he brings you to the Word, you know, on a matter of, you know, for us to bring a change into our life. He doesn't bring it because he wants to be a mean God, but he brings us to the Word because he wants the Word to be like a mirror where we can see ourselves and we can see every single area of our life, that we can come to the Word and say, oh man, I'm messing up in this. Oh, this is happening in my life. Oh, I'm going through these troubles. Oh, you know what? I'm getting blessed because of this. I know God because of this. My family is doing awesome because God is doing this through the Word. See, it's like a mirror that you have to come into the Word of God and see yourself in it. Amen? So when you come to the presence of God, God starts changing things in your life, you know, for good. Amen? The Word says that, you know, that even the bad things, they work for good for us that believe in God. Isn't that crazy? You know, when we start believing in that Jesus, even when we go through some problems, that's still God working in the midst of it, and he's bringing something good out of it. Amen? But what we see today, church, is with so much distraction. We see so much crisis in Christianity these days. We see many people these days getting deceived and getting distracted. And distraction is a big word these days that is moving among, you know, either media or people at work or you know, or somebody in the supermarket. But it somehow, you know, it's moving and it's getting to our ears. It's getting to our children's ears. It's getting to our family members' ears. So we have to be very careful. We as Christians, as followers of God, that we need to keep in fire for the Lord. We need to keep connected with the Lord. So all this garbage that is going around does not get into our ears and enters into our spirit. We have to allow God to be the one that brings the change in our life. We need to allow God to start bringing, you know, like the 911 rescue into our crisis these days. We need to allow God to start bringing, you know, the freedom into homes that are in need of Christ these days. See, I was reading a book, and the author, he started his first chapter. And many of you might know what book I'm talking about. And he started with his first chapter. He was saying, imagine if you are in an island and the only thing you have with you is the Word of God, the Bible. And you're reading about, you know, in the book of Acts, you're reading about, you know, the old church, and you're reading about how amazing it was and how grateful and powerful the church was connected to the Holy Spirit of God, and how they had everything in common. Like, you know, they will share things to each other. They will sell things so they can help the one in need. And you see all these things happening. And then all of a sudden you get rescued, and then you get back into reality. You come to the, to, you know, to face, you know, the system of this world. And all of a sudden your imagination or your mind wants to see what you have read in the Word of God, but it's nothing compared to what you have read, because there's so much deceitfulness, there's so much discouragement, and there's so much distraction in today's people of God. It's hard to believe it, but that's what's going on. There's so much distraction, church. See, the enemy always wants to bring distraction into our life. He's a deceiver. He's really good at it. He is very good at it. He wants to deceive you from your dreams. He wants to deceive you from your calling in God. He wants to deceive you from coming to church. He wants to deceive you from every single thing that is Christ-like. He wants to make appearances that it's okay, but in the end, it's not Christ-like. He wants to appear like they do look like God. You know, if I stay home and if I watch videos instead of going to church. But you know what? We have to congregate. We have to come to the presence of God with the people in faith. Come on. Are we here? See, the enemy wanted to distract us. You know, he wanted to bring deceitment and distraction last week. You know, as we were going through all these things, but at the end, we could understand what God is working in the midst of everything, and He always brings something out of it. We can waste a whole lifetime. We can waste time, you know, living in deceitment, living in this distraction world. We can waste a lifetime, or we can say, you know what, God, I really want to walk with you. I really want to jump into your river. I really want to do something different for you. I have two choices, whether I jump into the river of God or I keep on being distracted for what the enemy wants to bring in our life. Sometimes we expect, we see all these things. In the book of John, chapter 21, and I want us to go there. We're going to go from verse 1 and on. I want us to read this story. And it says like this. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the sea. I can't say the word. Tiberius. And he manifested himself this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, check this out. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Going back to what he knows what to do best, right? And they said to him, we also come with you. And they went out and got into the boat. And that night, they started fishing because they didn't catch anything. And number 4 says, but when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Then the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? I can imagine the Lord asking the question, right? Then they replied and they said, no. And he said to them, well, I want you to cast your net to the right hand of the boat and you will find a really big catch. So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it into because of the great number of fish. Imagine that. It's a big, big blessing. Church, come on. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, is it the Lord? So when Simon Peter heard that this was the Lord, then he put off his outer garment. He was X-rated, right? He was naked. For some reason, he loved to swim naked. For he was stripped for work and threw himself into the sea because he was ashamed. He was, you know, scared. But the other disciples came into a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out of the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid there and fish placed on it. That's God right there. Come on. God is showing you the promise. God is showing you that He's going to feed you. God is showing you that He will give you the blessing. Come on. You come out of there, and then you see the fish there, and then He's telling you, bring more fish, and I'm going to show you things, and He's already has a fire ready. Isn't that wonderful? Right? And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net did not torn apart. See, when I was reading this story, here we have Peter one more time, you know, encountering one of the stories that challenged his faith. You know, we read before those chapters that Jesus had already came to Peter, to his boat, you know, to show him another different type of fishing, right? He told him, I want to go into your boat and I want to show you something powerful and I want you to go deeper and I want to show you that you can fish, you know, even though you already cast it, you're already cleaning up your nets, you're getting ready to leave. I want to show you something different that you already, that you can see that I'm bringing the miracle to you, that I'm bringing this promise to you, that I'm bringing something powerful to you. And here's Peter one more time, you know, encountering the same thing. But what happened is that, you know, they seen Jesus being taken away from them, even though Jesus had already spoke about his leaving from a long time, even since he started his ministry. He had already prepared their hearts. They said, now you see me, then you won't see me because I go to the Father to prepare a place for you. And he kept on saying that. But we have Thomas, you know, in the group of Peter, he took the best disciple, right? The doubting one. Right? Sometimes we want to feed ourselves with the people that, you know, if they're so damaged, and we're going through a lot, and we're going to disappointments, we're going to distractions in our life, we look for those type of people. Right? We look for those type of people so they can keep on doing the same thing with us. So that they can feed into my soul. So they can keep on saying, oh, don't go to church today. Why you go to church? Didn't you see last Sunday? You were praying and nothing happened. And they get so distracted. But see, they gather this group of guys and they say, we're going back fishing. We're, you know, for the best thing that we know what to do. Usually we tend to do that, right? If we know the best, we know how to do something, then we go for it. Right? So there's this group of guys that go and do that, and you know, and Jesus was there standing. The mighty God, the powerful Jesus was standing before their presence. But check this out, their distractions did not allow them to see who was standing before them. When we get so distracted, church, we can't see the promises of God. It's hard for us to see who stands before us. See, they couldn't see. They, you know, Jesus is standing there saying, you know, you guys haven't caught anything? But they couldn't see. They couldn't hear. They couldn't identify. See, when we get so distracted, we close our spiritual ears. We close our sight, our spiritual sight. We close everything in our life because we don't want to see what God is doing in our life because we're going through something or we're going through disappointments or we're going through distraction. And it doesn't allow us to see the blessing. Isn't that reality? Isn't that what we see in today's church? In today's, you know, in today's Christianity? We see so much crisis. And we need help. We need to allow God to be the one that moves in the midst of us. Not by emotions, not for what I know, not for my knowledge, but it's because of God, because of Jesus, because of this wonderful God that we need to be making that change. We need to take all distractions. See, today there's many things that can distract you from the presence of God. It can be your emotions, it can be, you know, what you think, your own theory. Can distract you from the steps of the Lord. And we see it all along. When Jesus came to the disciples, and the disciples had told, you know, spread the word that Jesus, you know, he was walking, and he was, you know, visiting them, and you know, they told Thomas again, and they said, you know, Jesus is alive. He has visited us. And Thomas said, whoa, I don't know if I can believe that. I don't know, not unless I put my hand into his right rib cage and I can put my finger into his wounds, then I will believe. See, that tells me that his life was full of so much distraction. You know, Jesus had told them, he goes, I'm going with the Father. And he said, well, let us go with you, God. Well, you could, where I go, you can't go, because I got to go and prepare a place. But see, Thomas couldn't understand because of his distraction. See, his life was full of distraction. And that shows me when Jesus has spoken about him being, you know, raised and you know, he appearing to them and him saying, well, I don't know. I don't know if I can believe it. I need to see to believe. That's another crisis we find today in church. That we need to see miracles. We want to see miracles before we believe in God. Come on, church. See, many people's waiting to see the miracle to step into faith, but the miracle doesn't work like that. You need to enter into faith in order for the miracle to happen in your life. Faith doesn't work like that. Faith works when you start activating your faith. When you believe that something is going to happen, that's how it works. But see, we get so distracted, and the system of the world, you know, shows you all that, like, oh, well, you need to see to believe. You need to see that, does really Jesus exist? Is he still doing miracles? And many people get distracted by it, and they don't want to come to the presence of God. Amen? But Peter was being challenged in his faith. You know, he walked with Jesus. I mean, Jesus told him that he was going to bless him. He was going to be a rock. And yet, he still doubted. He still, you know, doubted Jesus. At the moment, he still was so distracted, he couldn't see. How about the disciples when they were in the boat? How about when the storm started coming up? You know, and they had Jesus right there in the boat with them. But yet, they still were so distracted by everything that was going on in their life. But everything that had risen up against them, that all the storms and all the clouds and all that rain and all this, you know, tornado, or I don't know what was going on in that moment, but, you know, it looked like it was a tornado and it looked like it was a storm and everything that was happening, everything that can happen at the moment, you know, and they had Jesus right there. But they still doubted because their distraction, their eyesight were so much placed into the storm more than Jesus. Sometimes our distraction, you know, our sight, you know, our eyes, our faith are more placed into the problems and struggles and that we go through and more than seeing Jesus in our life. Amen? And Jesus can do it all. Come on. Jesus can do anything. But he's allowing us to come into faith because faith works like that. And we need to activate faith. Without works is death. We have to activate this faith. Amen? It's very easy to get distracted by the things of the world. Very, very easy. Paul reminded us in 1 Corinthians 6:12. And he said this, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. And all things are lawful, but not all things are edifying. So pretty much everything is out there for you and me, but not everything is edifying, guys. Come on. Come on. And we get so distracted by all those things. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, this is going to work for me. This is going to, you know, have we come to God? Have we consulted God? Have we really prayed about it? Have we really talked to God about it? Have we come into agreement, you know, with God? They might appear good. They might appear like they're okay. But see, at the end, sometimes they can bring you distraction. They bring you away from God. And I see it all along, church. I see it happen. I see people sometimes, you know, we all in need. We all need money. You know? But when they're telling you that you need to pick up 10 extra hours on Sunday of overtime, then you want to see, do I really want to go to church and praise God? Or do I go for that 10 extra hours? You know, do I receive my blessing? Or do I go for something else? Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it happens all along. Because, you know, it's very easy to choose that easy way. That easy pathway. It's very easy. But see, God wants us to come into this faith, into this agreement with Him, and ask Him, you know, for things. Because the Word says that, you know, if you're in need, you come to Him and He will give you. The Word says, knock and it should be open. Ask and you shall receive. But the first things are the first, church, the kingdom of God. It's the most important thing. What about this? In James 3, 11, 12. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? Or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. This can bring regular water from a water spout and try to bring salt water at the same time. Come on. That more clear that can be. You know? It's either or, beloved. It's either I want to do the things, you know, that God wants me to do, or do I allow distraction to get me away from God? It's either do I really want to, you know, grab on to the promises of God, or do I just want to go for what I feel is right for myself? Do I want to allow God, the Spirit of God, to talk into my life? Or do I just want to allow my inner voice to talk to me and feel what is good for me and what feels right? Or do I allow God to be the one that brings, you know, the presence like the wine and brings the best out of us? Because we have the choice. See, God is not going to force us to do something we don't want to do, but He gives us a choice every day. And it's up to us whether we want to wake up and say, you know what, God, I want to grab onto you today. Or if we want to say, God, I want to be distracted today. I choose to be distracted. In other words, you know, distraction takes you to many things in our life. It takes us to sometimes commit sin or commit things that they're not God-like. Come on. Beloved, in other words, it's kind of hard to grab sin and take him to a nice restaurant and to a nice date. It doesn't work like that. It's either God or what do I choose to do? Do I want to jump into God's steps and keep on following Him? You know, it doesn't. Can't they sin and God at the same time? I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. Can't they are emotions and they God at the same time? It doesn't work like that. There's no way. We have to allow God to be the one, you know, in our life 100%. Are we here?
Yeah.
In the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says this: and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove, check this out, so that you may prove what the will of God is. Come on. The which is good and acceptable and perfect. Sadly, sometimes many people fall short on this. See, they can't see, you know, the refreshment of God. They can see the renewing of God. It's hard to see the renewing of God when we're so distracted. You know, it was hard for Peter and the rest of them to see, you know, the blessing that God wanted to bring to them. It was hard for them. If they had a choice, either they could have got scared and run away, or they say, you know what, God, I really want to believe what you have for me. And Jesus showed them that by casting out their net to the other side, they were going to fish. You see, we can stay in the stage of being so distracted, or we can allow God to give us the freedom. Come on, we sing it all along. Church, we sing it all along. And we say, God, give us freedom. God, we need freedom. Are we truly living in that freedom? Amen. But we need to allow God to renew our mind. We need to allow Him to show us the will of God. But how are we going to do that, church? By entering into His promises. By entering into what the Word of God says. See, God gave us the manual of life for a reason, so we can have and live in the promises, so we can abide in the promises of God. Right? But we need to start believing into it, because it's hard to believe. You know, if you're so distracted, we're so distracted, it's hard to believe all those promises are for me and you. And that's how we see these days. We see so much crisis. We see so much people being so deceived by our culture. Our culture. Amen? This verse changes everything. We get reminded of being transformed. Amen? How many want to be transformed? Say, Lord, I want to be transformed. Come on. What about this other verse? On John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have what? You may have peace. In the world you have tribulations, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Come on. Has God overcome all those distractions? Yes, He did, because He did it with Peter and the rest of them. Right? He did it with the disciples in the boat. He calmed the storm, right? And He came and showed them that He was still there with them. So even in the midst of all that, church, God is still faithful. Even in the midst of, not that God wants to take away the promises from you, but little by little, we start walking away from the promises of God because of our distraction. You know, God wants us to have closer relationship with Him. He says in His Word that He wants us to enter into our secret place. In our secret place, you know, it means that's where He's going to show you He's there, like where He's going to show you all His promises. But when we allow distraction, you know, to take control, then it's kind of hard to enter into a secret place with God. Right? We find ourselves naked without God. Come on. Peter was naked at that time. You know, we find our old ways. Being in our life again. Church, it's very easy to take that again in our life. The hardest thing is, you know, is facing the world with Christ, and then the easiest thing is to run away from God. You know? Sometimes we tend to go for the easiest way. Amen? But God has already defeated that. Come on. And He has given you life eternally, and He has called you for great, great things. You believe it? Amen. See, how many of you guys follow the Olympics? About a few years, maybe last year or a couple years ago, I shared about this guy. He was an Olympian, but, you know, I was reading this quote about, I don't know if you guys who this girl is, Chloe Kim. She's a snowboarder on an Olympian gold medalist, and she won last year, you know, the gold medal, and she had this quote that impacted me so much in my life that, you know, sometimes, you know, we need to hear and allow God to you know, to show us different things, and you know, sometimes we read things in the Word of God that we read over and over again, and sometimes, you know, we say, well, I already did read this verse, but somehow God always teaches you something different. God always brings something different out of it, because it's the living Word of God, you know, and you know, and this really impacted me, and you know, she wrote this: I feel like dreams are always a little tricky. Don't we feel like that sometimes? Like, you know, when God gives you a dream and he gives you a vision, you know, sometimes we don't understand and we feel like, well, why is God, you know, calling me? Why is God giving me dreams? Why is God giving me visions? They can be kind of tricky, and sometimes we don't understand those dreams of God. But when we allow God to actually give us revelation, you know, into the prophetic, into the things that happen in our life, into the words that have been spoken over me, then we can understand what really God wants to work in our life. That's how we find, you know, what we want to do for God, and that's what we find when we allow him to show us. Come on, there's many people here with many talents. There's people here with many callings in their life. Amen? But you know, and she said, I feel like dreams are always a little tricky. But she said, if you just push through the struggles and the hard times, it will be so worth it in the end, because you will be able to get to your dream. You know? And then she said this, to me, snowboarding is really an art form. And I think every athlete, every snowboarder has their own style. And that is what makes them stand out. Church, you have a calling. You have something special that God has given you. If God has prophesied something over you, if God has given you a dream, a vision, he will accomplish it, because he is the author and the finisher of your life. He will bring that to life. You know, today there's many dreams and visions that are being buried, you know, because of distraction. You know, but God wants to bring them out. He wants to bring the best out of you. He wants to bring them out to you today. It's a now time. He wants to show you that he can do great things. And we can push through all these struggles. And we can push through all these things. But at the end, we're going to see that we're going to accomplish to get to our dreams. Come on. Isn't that wonderful? We all have a talent. We all have. And that's what makes us different. That's what makes you, you know, stand out. Church, you have been called, you know, to be unique. You know, that's why when you encounter people out there, we need to spread the word of God. When we see people so distracted, we need to spread the word of God. Church, come on. Right? We need to be the voice of God. We need to, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, so people can make a change in their life. Come on, church. Amen? We must not allow the enemy to bring all the distraction into our life. But we must allow God to be the one that's pushing us into the next level. Thank you. You believe it?
Yes.
Amen? Our dreams in God are still alive. You believe it? But we just need to push through the struggles, through the hard times. And Jesus will bring our style. We don't have to mimic anybody else. We don't have to be, you know, like somebody else, but you're going to be unique. You're going to be who God called you to be. Amen. Stand on your feet today.